Welcome back to Living Our Breast Lives, episode 7, a podcast not only about two women thriving with metastatic breast cancer, but also self-love, appreciation, and overall awakening to this beautiful gift we call life. Please don't forget to not only tune in, but to also subscribe and review.
Welcome back, and thank you for tuning into our podcast, Living Our Breast Lives. My name is Brittany, and with me is Ren.
Welcome back, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to episode 7. So today, our focus word or words is lack of control. Ooh, lack of control is a tough one. Also, side note, how in the world is it already Thanksgiving? I just can't even believe it. I feel like in a blink, we're here. It's the holidays. I feel like, I don't know about you, Britt, but man, I have so much to be thankful for. Like, and what a great time to verbalize the things you're grateful for in this life. Am I right?
Absolutely. And I don't know where time is going. I feel like the older I get, the faster time goes. It's like this week's Thanksgiving, the week after that, I'm going to Disney. And then before you know it, it's the most wonderful time of the year. It's Christmas, but it has been a whirlwind lately. So catch me up on some stuff. What's new in the world of Ren?
I just got back from Nashville, where Danny and I celebrated our second wedding anniversary.
Cheers to many more years and anniversaries. Take me with you next time.
Next time you're coming. It is such a good time. But like the whole place is just really special to us. And well, we were originally going to drive the 6 hours, but then I don't know if you've ever heard of an airport called Allegiant. First, I was checking, you know, American Airlines, like, you know, all like the bigger hubs. And then all of a sudden I came across Allegiant and it flew directly into Nashville and it was an hour flight and it was probably half the price of all of the other hubs. And when we had gotten there, there were less crowds. Like it was so much more convenient than your average like airport check-in. I would highly recommend it.
Yeah. Allegiant flights, they are really, cheap, reasonable, affordable, whatever you want to call it. The only issue I've ever had with them is that they only fly on specific days, maybe Tuesdays or Thursdays. But yep. When your travel plans match up with them, I mean, it's a no-brainer.
That's actually what happened. They only flew out. It was like you said, Tuesday, Thursday, and then luckily Sunday. But like, if you're trying to fly out Wednesday, like you're not going with Allegiant.
Yeah. So that's great for 4-day weekends though.
Exactly. But we had such a good time. So like we did the whole touristy thing. So we rode around on Segways, like the biggest dorks, but it was nice because it was like a downtown tour.
I'd face plant.
And then we also saw a show at the Grand Ole Opry. And it was just, it was really nice to experience. It's like the number one thing, like tourist thing to do when you go to Nashville. And it was just really nice to experience that.
Yeah. And it's always wonderful when you get to escape the regular day to day and switch it up a little bit.
That's, you know, I think that was probably the best part. It was like, we felt like we had no responsibilities. Like we were able to be carefree, do what we wanted, when we wanted. Like no schedules. We just escaped the regular like day-to-day crap, you know?
Yeah, I love it.
And I will say that the last time we were there, I've talked about this in previous episodes. It was when I was initially diagnosed. And so it was almost like creating these new memories that were not centered around cancer was something that Danny and I feel like we both needed. It was like all of these new fun memories replaced those heavy, dark ones from 3 years ago.
Well, that's so fun. And, you know, speaking of anniversaries, the Book of Faces, although I think it should be called the Web of Faces, Facebook shared memories that 2 years ago on November 14th, we became friends.
Oh,
so now we're going to have to celebrate our friendsiversary.
We should have had champagne right now because that's huge, Britt.
Aww.
Oh my God. The biggest thing, I just had my CT scan and I will say the scan itself wasn't bad. I feel like the scan itself is never bad. It's just the results that just put that ongoing knot in your stomach. You know what I mean?
I'll say the scan itself isn't bad because the scan isn't, but I don't know what it is. If I wasn't an x-ray tech, I would think I'm losing my mind. But for some reason, after my PET scan, I always feel like garbage and get nauseous and like don't feel well. And I know there is nothing in it to make me feel that way. And I'm not nervous. So it's not nerves. You know, you're trapped in a room because you're radioactive. And I swear the ventilation in that room is like, there's something in it. I stick to my story.
You stick to it.
Yeah. But did you get your results back?
Girl, I did. Are you ready for this? Under impression, it says no evidence of metastatic disease in the chest, in the pelvis, and the abdomen.
Woo-hoo-hoo!
I just like
another reason for champagne.
Oh man, yes, another reason for champagne. I am just this winning streak right now. It feels so good. Like, look at us go, Britt. I'm approaching 2 years of no evidence of disease in just a few months. Like, what is that? Now, you just had a scan recently too, right?
Oh yes, another MRI of my spine to make double, maybe triple sure now that there's no metastasis. I don't even know at this point.
Honestly, there's nothing wrong with triple checking, and that's the teacher in me. And you know what I was thinking? You know how there are women that will sync up each month? Like, ladies, you
like
know
the
what I'm talking
10.
About? Yeah. Like, I feel like you and I are starting to do that with our scans because we just had scans, what? It was like a week apart.
Yeah. And you know, like, yes. I haven't spoken to my oncologist yet, but the area on my spine is stable. So that's good for sure.
Woo! There's,
like, no definitive answer on what's going on with my spine. So that's okay. What's annoying to me. That was actually a great segue into one of today's topics of lack of control. Face it, we've all been there at one time. The time a doctor orders a medical test. I'd like to think that younger Brittany was less concerned or worried about the tests I had performed would yield an abnormal result. I know for me, I almost felt like annual physicals required for a healthy employee discount with health insurance was a hassle, especially in my 20s. Like, insurance companies, save yourself the money. I'm good. We don't need to do blood work. We don't need to have me step on a scale. Mm-hmm. I'm good.
It was almost like that mentality that high cholesterol, blood pressure, cancer, heart disease, et cetera, does not happen to people my age. I just think it's that innocent mentality of, oh, you know what? I'm young. Nothing will ever happen to me.
After you have your first abnormal finding or result, there's no going back. Like, the days of you walking into that doctor's office, like, I'm the boss. I got this. All's good with me. No need to worry. Those days are over.
Oh yeah, that ship has sailed.
And moving forward, no matter the test, how big or small, there's that palpable anxiety over what the results will yield. Will they be normal or abnormal?
And it's the anxiety part that lingers each time. So how do we cope with the anxiety? Well, we remember not to give it judgment. We remember not to worry until we have to worry. And why, you ask? Because it is out of our control. You can sit there and you can try and prepare all you want, but the test result is coming whether you want it to or not, good or bad.
I feel like all of our podcast episodes are just like a continuation or like a building on top of each other of like, we're talking about coping mechanisms again. And then, yep. You know, it's all about mindset. Do you want to waste what could be good minutes, good hours, good days, agonizing over what your results will be? Or do you want to keep enjoying life and deal with what is dealt only once it becomes necessary to?
After I got home from my scan, I started to feel worry creep in. And again, I'm human, right? We're all human. So you know what I decided to do? I was like, you know what? I'm going to turn on The Bachelorette. I turned my brain all the way off because, you know, like mindless TV. I mean, it helps when you're just in a place of worry and you're just, your mind is on loop over and over and over again. It's like mindless TV works. It really does.
Yeah, because you definitely had scan anxiety going on. And mm-hmm. If you or someone you know has cancer, you may have heard this term before. When you have had or are living with metastatic cancer, regular scans may be performed to see if there is growth, shrinkage, or stability.
And so shrinkage and or stability on scans is ideal because it means your treatment is working. Now, on the other hand, if there is growth, it may unfortunately be time to change your treatment plan.
And scan anxiety, to give more of a definition to it, is a term that people in the cancer community use to describe the nervousness around the time of these tests. It's essentially the anxiety they have going into their scan day, whether it's a CT, MRI, bone scan, or PET scan. Mm-hmm. And in general, metastatic cancer patients will have scans every 3 months or so. But I do not like the word scan anxiety because as I've said earlier today, I don't have anxiety over the scans. I have anxiety over the results. I think it should be called result anxiety or result anxiety. You laugh. And I know it doesn't sound as good, but waiting for results is the worst, especially when you know the results are available, but you can't access them until your provider has a chance to view them.
I probably wouldn't go with results anxiety. I think scan anxiety sounds better, but listen, I agree. I would definitely say the scans are more tedious and annoying because you know they're coming and like, I don't know, there's just like a process within the scan, but you're right. It's like waiting for the results is what kind of hits you like a ton of bricks. And so piggybacking off what you said, just within this last year, they actually started sending me my results directly to my chart almost immediately after they came back.
My chart is like huge this yes. past year. It's like, yes. what huge organization, you know, at least hospital organization does not have my chart now.
Yeah. And I remember even getting, when I was in a previous appointment with my oncologist, I remember her sitting me down and being like, hey, Ren, I just want to let you know, like, there's this new thing that we've got going on now. Like, I know normally you would come into the office and I would share your results with you, but I want to let you know that now the results are going straight to my chart and you can view them ahead of time. So she did give me that like, hey, this is what's going to happen. You can make that decision for yourself. I think there's a lot of pros and cons on whether or not you read your results, you know, before actually sitting down with your oncologist.
Yeah. And it can be very dangerous for a lot of reasons. The medical jargon can be difficult to decipher, especially with imaging. Doctors tend to leave the door open to alternate possibilities. Like, heck, I have a radiology background and sometimes I can't fully understand what I'm reading.
Yeah. And it's all about those boundaries. Like, you have to make the decision in that moment. If the results are bad, am I strong enough to cope with these new findings and accept that I can't speak to my oncologist until tomorrow? Or if the results are good, did I just put my mind at ease instead of having to wait in, you know, what feels like angst for, you know, 2 to 3 days before?
I like that word, angst.
Yeah. Like you're sitting there for days on end, you know, waiting for your results. And so it's just, I guess it's all about the choice.
Did you interpret something worse than it actually is and cause yourself unnecessary stress? So I've had both scenarios. The place I initially started having my scans performed at, they don't make images or reports available on the patient portal until the ordering physician was able to review them. It's only after they've signed off on it that they make them accessible to me. So sometimes I would have the scan done a week or two before my follow-up, and it was torture waiting for the results.
Mm-mm. I could not physically imagine waiting a week or two. It just seems cruel.
Well, thankfully, my oncologist and I developed a special relationship where I could send her a message and be like, hey, I had my PET scan done yesterday, insert smiley face, insert heart emoji. And that would kind of prompt her to look at my medical record and look at the results, and I wouldn't have to wait so long.
Well, that's good. I mean, that's anything is better than having to wait 2 weeks. So
yeah. But now where I currently have my scans performed, I get access to the results as soon as the radiologist finalizes his dictation.
Good.
And I like being able to read my own reports, but as I said before, the jargon used doesn't always make it clear cut.
The terms are definitely hard to read at times. And like you said, the worst thing you can do is sit there and assume something for obvious reasons. I mean, this is your life in the hands of a scan result that you're looking at. You know what I mean? Lucky enough, I feel like I've gotten the hang of reading the reports. Now, I have no technologist background, but I feel like kind of gotten in the groove of reading these reports. So it makes me feel a little bit better going into it.
Yeah. And ultimately, it's about knowing yourself and knowing what's best for you. If you've looked at your results in the past and you've been overwhelmed, sent into a spiral because you either couldn't make sense of the report or it wasn't the result you were hoping for, I'd wait until your doctor gives you the results so you can have all your questions and concerns answered in that moment instead of waiting, you know, days or even weeks for clarity.
Yeah, you just got to do what's best for you. Like for me, I read my results before I see my oncologist, and it's just because I want to be in control. You know, I hadn't been in control for how many years? I mean, if you're going through something like what we're going through, control lacks in these situations. And so Ren likes
control.
Yes. And she like grasps onto any control that she can get. And so I read my results ahead of time, but what works for me might not work for other people. And so it's a preference.
Ren and I were just talking to how I was a type A, such as herself, and I'm trying to get her to come to the type B side.
Yeah, like, which will never happen. But wishful thinking, my friend.
You know, I've learned wishful to surrender thinking. To the B, okay? The B that is me. And not the bad B. No. But I'm glad that we got to talk about this today, because honestly, one of the reasons I wanted to have this discussion was because recently a woman had reached out to tell me about her friend that had breast cancer 2 years ago. And she went in for her 6-month follow-up PET scan and found on her patient portal that the cancer had returned and metastasized to her bones. She never got to hear it from a doctor first. I can't even fathom not having anyone there to reassure you, you're going to be okay. We're going to treat this. This is our plan. And you know, it's those, yeah, it's like those stories are what make me lean towards test results not being posted or available on patient portals until after the ordering physician has reviewed and discussed them with the patient. Just so they're not in that tough spot. But you know,
that's hard. That's really hard. Like, you shouldn't be going through something like that alone.
No.
That's one of those moments where you want to be able to ask every single question that comes to the forefront. You want to be able to sit there with your loved ones and let them ask questions. I mean, that's tough. Mm-hmm. That's really tough. That's hard.
I don't think it would be easy to like really comprehend and make sense of anything in those moments.
No,
like,
because you're reading something that's so difficult to understand, you know? So you need somebody who's experienced, like an oncologist, to sit there and walk you through what this report says.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, let's shift to other situations where we have a lack of control, but perhaps let the feelings around get the better of us.
I remember brainstorming this with you earlier. So like situations where we have lack of control, some more catastrophic than others, right? But learning how to react appropriately to these unexpected changes in life is so important, because it can be highly beneficial and it can also just be an all-around stress reliever.
Yeah, I don't think change gets easy at any age. It's more like how you cope with it.
Exactly.
You know, how many travelers have booked a flight, whether for recreation or business, gone to the airport and have seen that beautiful yellow writing delayed, or even worse, the red writing canceled? Nothing could turn my day upside down as much as those dreaded words.
You're right.
Especially if I'm headed to Disney, okay? So, and I'm going there soon, so I really hope I don't see those. The thoughts of, great, less time at my destination. Now I'm going to miss this. Now I'm paying for a hotel I'm not even staying in. I mean, I could go on and on with the negativity. And for what? It's just
no point.
Just not worth fixating on the would have, could have, should have. It's not going to change the weather outside. It's not going to make the arrival plane come in any quicker. It's not going to make the mechanic fix the plane any faster. And let's be real, mechanic, take your time. We all want to stay up until we're ready to come down.
Yes, please.
You could blame your husband for not choosing the earlier flight, but that is over and done with. That is not going to change the situation you are in right now. That is just going to add wind to fan the flames.
I'm dying over here. Like, I agree, but I'm laughing at the blaming your husband. Like, damn these husbands. Like, they always seem to be getting in the way. They're always messing up our plans.
He really did, though. I was like, I wanted the 6:30 a.m. flight. Do you realize what time we're going to have to wake up for that, Brittany? I don't care. It's more time at Disney. You're fine. We can do the 8 a.m. flight. Oh, well, 8 a.m. became 10:30.
Listen, all of these things remind me of the Alanis Morissette song, when everything that could possibly go wrong literally goes wrong.
But isn't it ironic?
Exactly. But it's true. Like,
a little,
it doesn't change a thing. It does not change a thing.
So, you know, the same goes for coworkers calling out of their shifts. And now you're understaffed. You know, if you burn the Thanksgiving turkey, get the flat tire. I mean, I could go on and on. You can't change it. You can't control everything. Sometimes you just need to relax and roll with it. Just let life happen.
And sometimes you can even laugh about it.
What part of it? No, I'm kidding. Oh my gosh, I burned the Thanksgiving turkey. Looks like we're going to Bob Evans where they're going to be serving us some turkey and gravy and stuffing.
Well, I'll give you an example. A few years back, Danny was in charge of, I guess, putting the turkey in and out of the oven. Well, one thing led to another, and I guess there was just like an abundance of oil, and the turkey basically went up in flames, and my husband almost burned his eyebrows off of his face.
Wait, and this was in the oven?
Yes, but I'm not kidding. He told me he felt like his eyebrows were like, what's that word?
Shard? No.
Yes.
Is it? Oh, yeah.
And so, you know, it sucked because the turkey was burnt, but like we laughed and like we tell the story every Thanksgiving.
So, you know, that's perfect. Like you burned the turkey, yes, which was unfortunate because then you didn't have turkey to eat, but then like you have this great memory around it.
So before you had said that you can't control everything. Sometimes you just need to relax, roll with it and let life happen. So Ren likes to call that rolling with the punches. And it seems to be my life motto these days, but I do want to take a second and crank it up a notch. We have the flight cancellation, we have the burnt turkey, and we have the flat tire scenarios. But what about the actual life-altering scenarios that we also have no control over? Maybe it's the loss of a child. Maybe you were a victim of a really bad car accident. Maybe you were diagnosed with an illness. These scenarios can be harder to accept because they have most likely changed your life's course. Whereas the other examples might seem more kind of like a bump in the road. But when I was first diagnosed, my first initial thought was the blame game. But then I thought to myself over time, this progress has taken like years and years of practice, right? Like this isn't an overnight, just like the light switch has been turned on.
I think it's just in general, you know, the fact that, I mean, I really don't know what the, you know, light switch moment of it is that you really start to reflect on everything and become more in touch with your feelings and thoughts and why you feel a certain way and like getting more to the core of it instead of just looking at the superficial level of, oh, well, this is anger, but where's that anger coming from? This is anxiety, but where's that anxiety coming from?
Yeah, you like know? That digging deeper to find what's really triggering you and why you feel the way that you feel. Absolutely. And that's kind of where that surface level of blame comes in. It took me a while, but listen, whether I was the president or the wealthiest person in the world, this diagnosis was going to be a part of my story.
Or the no matter what person in the world.
Yeah, exactly. Like I didn't welcome it with open arms, but now that it's here to stay, I've learned how to accept, you know, that it is now a part of me. And I've taken the necessary steps, how to get there, the tools in which, you know, has helped me get there. But I do have a really cool example. Have you ever watched the show A Million Little Things?
I have, but I had a thought when you just said that, something along the lines of it's now a part of you. I think I've said this before on the podcast about this book, Radical Remission, that I was reading, and I honestly haven't finished it yet, but one of the Eastern medicine things was that he had, you know, this healing was that instead of being like, I hate cancer, I wish I didn't have it, he learned to accept that like, part of loving myself is loving everything about me, and that cancer, whether, you know, I chose to have it or not, is a part of me, and I can't, to heal myself, have any hate towards me whatsoever. So while I wouldn't ideally want to have cancer, I'm going to understand and still love myself and love that cancer because it is now part of who I am. So it really made
me love that.
Think of that when you had said that. And I totally apologize for interrupting.
No.
But I was like, wait, I need to share that because I think that that's something that's really helped me is that, you know, am I probably still in the process of fully loving myself? Sure. But I'm a lot closer to that than I was before. And I think reading that and hearing that really made me understand what self-love is. Yeah. So I just wanted to share that for anyone who maybe needed to hear it too. And
No, I mean, I'm sure as hell appreciative of that. And I'm sure that there are listeners that are appreciative of what you said, you know, as well.
But you were saying about A Million Little Things. I haven't watched yet. So don't, I hope this isn't a spoiler alert.
So A Million Little Things. Now, although it's obviously fictional, there's this character, I think his name is Eddie. He sheds light on lack of control turned into acceptance, turned into self-love. Just talking about him, like I was able to resonate so much with him and just his progression over time. So he's hit by a car and he's put in a wheelchair for life. So he had no control over it. So for many episodes, you see this dark, angry, depressed energy. He's blaming himself. He's feeling sorry for himself. He's hating himself as he's trying to figure out this, his new norm. But as the season continues, you start to see, I'm telling you, it's like a caterpillar, like turning into a butterfly. Like you start to see his acceptance come into fruition little by little. And I'll give you an example of where the acceptance starts. So his son keeps saying things to him like, Dad, maybe we can do this when you're out of the wheelchair. And it's over and over again. And you can see it's just a constant hit every time he hears his son say it. So eventually he decides to pull his son aside and he tells his son that there is not going to come a time when he is ever out of the wheelchair. Ooh. And it was that beautiful moment of acceptance. And it brought tears to my eyes. I cried while watching this episode because I just felt it so deep within. You could finally see this character let go. He eliminated that false hope that was just suffocating him and preventing him from moving forward with his life.
You really do have to learn to let go because
yes,
that, I mean, if you can't let go of the past and what happened, you might as well have died in that moment when you became paralyzed because you're not living anymore if you're stuck in the past.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's exactly right. And back in the day when I found out that treatment was for life, I didn't want to accept it. I mean, who does? I mean, that's a really harsh reality. But over time, I learned to accept that treatment would be every 2 weeks. You know, of my life. It was going to be a part of my life, a part of my everyday schedule. And I learned to make the best of it. Like when I go now, and this might be corny, but I'm sitting there goofing around with my nurses who have now become friends of mine. I'm having me time sitting there watching Hulu. And the best part yet is I'm eating at the complimentary buffet of crackers and pretzels. I'm telling you, it's the simple things in life, right? It's the chapstick and the socks on Christmas morning. Okay.
Yeah. Ooh, I love it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm living the dream, baby. I mean, it's just once you can live up to the acceptance, the self-love is such a beautiful place to be.
And the key takeaway from what you just said is that you are living.
Yes,
ma'am. And you know, it's one of those things that like you're allowed to feel what you want to feel. Mm-hmm. As long as you don't like get stuck in those feelings, like you said, where it's kind of like, I'm going to be in treatment every 2 weeks. Like for me, even with the quarterly scans and the monthly treatment, that's annoying to me. It's annoying, you know, but like, it's how you choose to look at it. Like it's frustrating to have to like block out a part of your day. Maybe it's right in the middle of your day to do these things, but you can look at it as this is my time to catch up on my Hulu shows. This is the time for me to read because I don't get the opportunity when I'm at home because I'm so busy doing this, that, or the other thing.
Exactly.
So it's about, again, perspective and like what way you choose to look at the situation you're in. And it's, you know, those cliches like that nobody wants to hear that you can find good in everything. It's just the way you choose to look at it.
We always circle back to perspective and mindset. I mean, I feel like every single episode we're going to touch upon these themes because how else are you going to get to that part in life where you love yourself and you love your life and you've accepted the good and the bad.
And I'm sure a lot of the things, like I just said, you know, that we talk on this podcast sound cliche, or you're saying, well, that's easier said than done. And you know, that's probably true. But Ren and I have put in the work and can tell you, the more you start to look at life through a positive lens, let that shit go. The happier, less stressful life you will lead. When you remove the frills and take it back to the basics, that is where you will find your joy.
I like where this episode went today, Britt.
Yeah, and I know you were worried. Good. You were like, we're going to be talking about lack of control. We're going to have, what are we going to say? And it's like, well, let me tell you. The takeaway for today is, if you try to control everything and then worry about the things you can't control, you are setting yourself up for a lifetime of frustration and misery. Mm. You can't get rid of all your negative thoughts and feelings. That's impossible. The goal is to change your response to them.
Amen. You have to change your response to them. Absolutely. The sooner you do that, the better you will feel.
Absolutely. And with that, I'd like to say thank you so much for tuning into our podcast, Living Our Breast Lives. Feel free to follow us on Instagram at Living Our Breast Lives, where we will share podcast updates, special dates, educational resources, and of course, health updates for those following our metastatic breast cancer journeys. Have questions, comments, or anything else you would like answered on our podcast? Send us a message on Instagram. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And as always, choose kindness. Someone may look fine on the outside, but you never know who's actually struggling on the inside. Until next time, happy Thanksgiving, and don't forget to live your breast lives.
God bless. Thanks, everyone. Happy holidays.